The title of my message today is, Where There Is No Light, There Is Darkness. All right? In Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3, it says, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Christ will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. All right, when the Lord gave me the title of the message, and the Holy Spirit started giving me the scriptures there, one thing he was emphasizing is this verse, Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3, is what God is looking to do in his church these days. For the church needs to arise. It needs to begin to shine forth the light of God's presence within them. We cannot keep hiding it. We cannot keep, put it under the peck basket or hide it under the bed. We've got to begin to shine forth, all right, his light. And we do that, it says God's glory will be upon you. All right, God's glory is his manifest presence. What he's saying is when that light shines forth from you, God's presence is on you. And when his presence is on you, the power of God is made available. That now you can minister in what God has called you to do. You minister in the anointing of the Spirit. Where signs and wonders will follow. God's called us to be, all right? Those kind of believers where God manifests his power in his fullness in and through us to a world that is in darkness and a world that is lost. As we see that when he says the darkness covers the earth and gross darkness to the people. You have to say and have to admit, right now that's where we're at. That's what's happening in the world. There's darkness over the world, but gross darkness over the people. And we can see and recognize that. And he's calling for us now to arise and shine in this darkness that's out there so that God's glory can be seen upon you. That when God's glory is seen upon, it's going to draw the people. All right? And we need to be making ourselves available for that. So I really believe this is God's will on this earth for his people, that we be that light. All right? In Ephesians 5, 8 through 14, it says, For you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. We all were in darkness, every one of us, because of sin. When we received Jesus, all right, he now translated from darkness into light, from death into life, all right, from being in this kingdom into God's kingdom. So therefore, now we're a new person in him. All right, we're shining forth before there was darkness and encompassed us, and we could see. But now that we have the light, we begin to see and see more clearly as that light becomes more and more evident in us. More and more we see clearly the darkness before us, but also that light is also to help us to see the darkness that's still in us. Because remember, when we got saved, all right, our sins were forgiven, okay? We're cleansed, we're made right before the Father, but we still carry baggage with us. And that light that Jesus puts in us is a light that he wants to illuminate us fully. Right? And it goes on to say, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. All right? That's what I think, that light that is shining is well-pleasing because how do you're doing God's will. You're serving him. You're going about what God has called you for, what he paid the price on the cross for, that you go forth and be light. And that is pleasing unto the Lord. And goes on to say, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, we were once in the darkness. Now in the light, we need to now shine forth that darkness will be exposed. God's called us to be that light to expose that darkness. All right? For it goes on to say, for the things which are done by them in secret is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when they are reproved and made manifest, manifest means to be made known. That's what he's called us, to make him known, all right? By the light, for everything that is made manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon you. All right, we're talking about at the time of the church, seems like it's been in slumber. It seems like it's just pretty much laid back and has not really pushed forward in order to know God and to walk in his ways. It's just kind of happy where it's at. It's kind of built its little world around itself, okay, and happy winning and doesn't want to disturb. Well, Jesus is saying right here and now, I'm coming, that little world that you have built, I'm coming, and I'm going to disturb it. I'm going to break it open. I'm going to get you to understand what it means to walk in my light and in my presence to do my will. In other words, what God is saying, I'm not tolerating anymore you being wishy-washy and being laid back. I'm calling for people that are going to serve me with all their heart. You may say this is a hard message, but I think it's a message that we need to hear because the church is failing. I just read an article on a survey that they did in this nation as far as Christians, how many Christians there are and how many actually go to church, all right? Less than 5% go to church once a week. Less than 5%. The rest of the week, they pretty much have it to themselves. I think that's a terrible, terrible statistic. Less than 5%. And that's it, you go to church. The rest of the week belong to themselves. I wonder what the percentage is of those of us that serve the Lord with all our heart, who long for him, who pursue after him, who can't live apart without him, who begin their day with him and end their day with him, knowing that in him we are days made complete. I wonder how many really are. Well, I believe God is calling for that number to increase, that more and more people will look to him and understand their calling and their purpose, why they're here, and to be a witness and to serve him. In Isaiah 49:6, it says, "Ye, he saith, it is too light a thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that you mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Right here saying, he says, all right, we're not limited to that light. We're not limited to where we can shine wherever we go. Not just for Israel, but for the Gentiles, for every place where we go. When we walk out that door, wherever we go, we ought to be a light shining. That's what he's called us, to be an example. And God will provide for us. That's the thing. I go to the gym. I try to go about 5 times a week. I need to because of my back problem. God's provided so many opportunities that I can share the Lord. I just say hi to somebody. And that somebody will say hi, and God will touch me. You know, talk to that person. There's a sense he's going through something. This one gentleman I just talked to last week, his wife passed away. They were married for 61 years. And you could tell the hurt and the burden upon him that he was really struggling with it. I got to talk to him. I got to pray with him, all right? And he was so thankful for that. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure, but I think I've been called to be a minister to Bob because everybody I talked to is named Bob for whatever reason. So maybe Paul was for the Gentiles and for the Bobs. But anybody Bob here, raise your hand. I will talk to you. But anyway, but there was another Bob who's struggling going through a divorce and going through some really tough times there. And he was telling me he just couldn't handle it. So I asked him, well, let me pray for you. I serve a God that cares about what's going on. A God who really wants to be able to be there and to comfort you. So I was able to share and pray with him. And he was very thankful. And that's the opportunity that God, and that's what God's called us because. You know what I think I found? I mean, some people don't want to, they're fearful of saying something to the Lord to them. You know what? I find out every single one I talked to, they were so appreciative that I was so concerned and that I'd be willing to pray with them. They were so thankful. We need to understand that when God gives us his love and we begin to walk in that light, all right, it touches those that we're with, and they're so grateful and thankful. And we should go not with fear, but understanding. We're going there, presenting Jesus to touch and impact their lives. We know where we were before and how we are now. All right, and that ought to motivate us to just know. We know their final outcome, but we got the good news. We got the words of eternal life we could share with them, that they can experience the joy that we have experienced when we receive Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5, it says, "For ye are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." We were of the night and of the darkness. Now God is saying, now we are sons of light. Now we need to walk in that light. John 3:21 says, "But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God." He that doeth the truth. Are you walking in that truth? This is the truth. Are you walking in that truth? God said, if you're walking in that truth, all right, you are the light. But Jesus Christ is living, abiding word of God, and he is the truth. And if that truth is in you, God is saying you are light. You are shining forth in that light. In John 8:12, it said, "Again, therefore, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Okay? Here is God declaring it, all right? Therefore, look at them saying, I am the light. He that followeth me shall not be in darkness. When he's talking about following, he's just not talking about, going short distance. He's talking about following him fully. He's talking about when you set your heart on him to follow him, he's expecting 100%. He's expecting that you're going to give your all. He gave his all for us. He's expecting that we will do the same for him. Because as far as I'm concerned, as much as we walk with him, it's going to be as much as the light that shines forth from us. If we walk little, it's going to be a little light. If we walk much, it's going to be much light. I think that's what he's saying here. All right? Oh, that was another nice thing. Why? All right. Last time I preached there, Joanne didn't like the lights because it reflect off my head. So we'd be able. Well, we're not recording this, so we're going to be all set now. Because I had bought a hat. I was going to wear a hat just so I wouldn't have to shine in and the lights wouldn't be a bother. In John 2, 8 through 10, it says, again, a new covenant I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light already shineth. Okay? Are we shining? Are we going out and seeing the darkness before us pass away? Seeing the darkness dissolve and be encompassed in the light? That's what we're called to do, to go out there. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is no occasion of stumbling for him. All right? When I read that scripture, I meditated upon that. Lord, what do you mean by my brother? He's not talking about brethren. He's talking about all. Those that are saved, those are lost. All right? When we see somebody out there, all right, we see them and they're struggling, and how do we look at it? Do we look at them with compassion and with love? Or do we see them in their, let's say, their sin? All right. One thing when I did prison ministry, and in there, I could easily have judged every one of them there. I chose not to. I chose to walk in there and love them and ignore what brought them in there and share that Jesus Christ could set them free from what they had done. Yes, they had to pay the price for what they had done by the law, but that they would be free from the guilt and the shame and the punishment due them because of that sin. All right? This is what I believe he's talking about here. That if we're walking in that true light, all right, we're not going to hate our brother, but we're going to reach out to him. We're going to not let fear cause us to, when we have that sense to speak, we don't speak. But we're going to show that kind of love that we're going to speak to them, irregardless of how they respond. It doesn't matter. In Psalm 18:28, it says, "For thou wilt light my lamp, the Lord my God will lighten my darkness." In other words, what he's saying is there was darkness. As that light comes in, that light begins to shine within us. And it shines within us. That darkness now is no longer an act, but being engulfed in the light. Psalm 21:7, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid?" He's declaring his light. He's our salvation. Then whom shall we fear? Doesn't the perfect love cast out all fear? Is he not perfect love? Is he not within us? And is love now moving and manifesting and transforming us so that we're filled with his love, that we walk in his ways and his truth, that we understand our relationship with the Lord and how that relationship is only determined by our willingness to surrender and seek him? God has made himself available for us. We will be lacking nothing. Everything is provided. All God says, will you reach up and receive what I have done for you? It's our choice whether we want to receive what he's done and walk in his ways or we want to limit it. It's our choice. And I believe that God is declaring is that I've provided. Now, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing now to walk in all my ways? Knowing what I have done for you through my son, are you willing now to walk in the fullness of what I have provided? In Psalm 43:3, it says, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, into thy tabernacle." All right? It says, we are light and we know the truth. That light ought to draw us closer and closer to him. That light ought to draw us so that we see God's word as being so important in our lives that we can't go apart from spending time in his word, reading his word, starting the day. I was watching a program on TBN, all right, and the guy was talking about the word amen. And we're talking about how we always pray and we always say amen after. It says, well, when I decide, I say amen. When I get up in the morning, I say amen, because I say, so be it to what God preferred the desire to do in this day in me. I'm already declaring amen to it. I don't have to pray about it in the sense of asking God to do it. I'm just saying, God, amen, I'm available, you're going to do it. And I like that. Now I start my morning that way. I say, amen, God, you've given me another day. And that day is not for my own comfort to please myself. That day is to serve and do your will. I say amen to your will and what you desire. All right? Then I begin to pray. And then as I pray, I know God's listening and saying, and he's saying, amen, 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 amen. When we pray, all right, do we pray with an understanding God is saying amen to our prayer? Whatever we're praying for, as the Spirit leads us, we're saying amen to that, saying so be it. That's how our hearts should be when we begin to pray. In Psalm 97:11, it says, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. All right? So when that light is shown, it's just for the righteousness and the gladness in your heart. All right? That light, if it's growing and expounding, there's a joy and there's an excitement, but there's also an understanding that when Jesus said we are the righteousness of God in him, we come to understanding that we're walking in his righteousness. For our righteousness has fully arrived before him, but walking in his righteousness, enjoying the fact is that we have been made right, we have been sanctified and justified, set apart, all through what Christ has done, and we need to walk in the fullness of that, for he hath provided it all for us. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. All right, here you go, just declaring the importance of his word. It said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. In other words, thy word will start enlightening the path before you. And the light will shine before you so you can see, all right, where you are walking. All right? In Isaiah 2:5 says, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Okay? This is a declaration. God is saying, let us walk in his light. All right? Who would want to be walking in darkness? Well, you can't see where you're going. You can't see the obstacles. You can't see the danger before you. But we're walking in his light. That darkness is exposed, and we see what is before us. And when we see what is before us, then we can know to walk right, for we'll avoid or walk away or whatever it's necessary not to fall prey to whatever danger is before us. In Isaiah 58:7-10, it says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth at the morning, and thy healing shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be on you. All right? Then shall you call, the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he will say, here I am. For thou take away the midst of thee the yoke, and putting forth the finger and speaking. And if thou draw out thy soul to hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in darkness, and thy obscurity be at noonday. What he's saying here is, he's declaring here how that light is to shine. If somebody's hungry, you feed them. If somebody's thirsty, you give them drink. If somebody's naked, will you clothe them? If somebody has no shelter, that's the light that he's declaring that should shine forth. We show that compassion. We show that love. And that light will drive it that we will meet that person's need. It goes on to say, I forget where it said it there, and if I'm in prison, you visited me. All right? God declared that himself. And as we declare, this is the light that shines forth through me, from in you, from me outward, that you will see those needs, recognize those needs, and meet those needs. And you'll meet them not with a grumbling or complaining, but you'll meet them with love and compassion, that you're willing to even put yourself in want in order to meet that person. That's what he's declaring over here. That is the kind of light that we shine. I was thinking about there when he talked about parable there about the person that was put on by robbers and everything, and how there was a Pharisee and then a Levite that walked around and had no compassion, but how a Samaritan had great compassion for the person, and the person was a Jewish person, all right? And they were, between Jews and Samaritan, there was no love whatsoever. There was none whatsoever, all right? They actually hated each other. Now here's a Samaritan had compassion on this Jewish person, and mended his wound and brought him to a place where he could be tended and paid for him. Like that, the delight that he's talking about. All right, we let go our differences. We let go how we feel towards an individual and meet that person's need. As Jesus Christ looked beyond us, and we need to look beyond the sin of others, all right, and minister in that love. In Proverbs 13:9, it said, "The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out." Here he says, are you rejoicing? Are you rejoicing? Are you enjoying your relationship with God? Are you enjoying the opportunity that you can shine forth for him? Are you enjoying the time that you can share Jesus? Sometimes it might be just in a word. I mean, there's one time that one person there, he was there, and I went, sat next to him there, and God didn't have me say a word. He just said to me, let him rave on. He needed to vent. He needed to be let go with all things. And I just sat there and listened. That's all I did. Okay? And then when we were done there, all right, he just said, thank you for listening. I needed to let that out. I needed to be able to shout and scream to somebody about what's happening. But that's what God wants us to make himself available for those that are hurting out there. All right? And sometimes it doesn't mean, but you're still planting seeds. Doesn't mean necessarily you have to keep using the name Jesus. All right? The name, all right, to me, does not have much impact as the fact that the evidence of him in your own life. That they can see when you say Jesus, man, this person believes in this person. This person, Jesus, is real to them. Because we can see the evidence of it. We can see the way they talk about him, the affection that they have for him, that it seems to be such a deep love for this individual. That's what they need to see. Not that you tell them about Jesus. I talk to people about Jesus, and a lot of them's not interesting to hear. All right? But over here at the time, they finally come to me and says, you know what? You talk about this Jesus, but at least we see you had this great passion for him. And that's what they need to see. We had such a great passion for him that they literally see the change in your own life. All right? And to me, that would, if anything, God would be able to convict them in a way, look, the joy that you're lacking, you're seeing in this person can be your joy as well, if you but will receive my son. All right, in Luke 11, 33 through 36, it says, one second there, I'm getting a little dry. It says here, no man we hath lighted a lamp, putteth in a cellar, neither under the bushel, but on a stand, that they which enter may see the light. The lamp of the body is thine eye. When thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when it is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Look therefore whether the light that is in thee be not darkness. If therefore thy whole body be full of light, having no part dark, it shall be wholly full of light. And when a lamp, when it's bright, shining, doth give thee light. Okay, here, God declaring, okay, we are light. Are we shining? Are we just holding that light back? All right, I remember the two people I had talked to. Okay, and they were talking the fact that they were born in, they were saved, all right, but it was personal. They don't share it with nobody. To me, what they're saying is that they're holding that light within them. They're not letting that light flow from them so we can touch and impact our lives around them, all right? To me, they're missing out the whole point of what it is, to walk and to live for Jesus and to shine forth in his light and that the glory of God would be upon them. They missed the mark completely. Because they say it's personal if we don't share it. Right? They're missing it. It goes on to say, thine eye. All right. What do you perceive with your eye? What do you allow in? Okay. Are you in God's word? That your eye now is perceiving God's word? And as they perceive God's word, the Spirit is now causing you, to put it in your mind and then write it upon your heart? What are you looking at? All right, you spend too much time. I got to admit, for the longest time, I watched too much football. I got to agree, I did. All right, God finally showed me that by me doing that, I was putting him in second place. I don't put him in second place no more. I watch football, all right, but I don't let football take priority. Okay, I make sure that I spend my time and what I need with the Lord, and then if I have time, I'll watch football. But God comes first, all right. The matter of fact is when I was doing this study, getting into this word, okay? I says, Lord, you talk about your light is in us. So I said, Father, then show me how much light is in me. That's what I need to know, how much light. I think this is where I'm at, but really, where am I at? How much light is really shining forth from me? And I got this, I don't know if you call it a vision or a picture or what, but I saw Jesus, and Jesus was like, you know, I had an open door, and he came into that door. He stepped over the threshold, then he stopped. And I'm saying, Lord, what is wrong? He says, you've allowed me in, but that's as far as you allowed me into your heart. In other words, what he's saying, I got a little light, but God wants me full of his light. Because what he was showing me and saying to me is that you have allowed the light in, but until you open up fully, you know not the full darkness that's still left in you. All right? And when I dwell upon that, I started to think back that, you know, yeah, there are areas in my life. There are doors that I have closed, walls that I have put up, that I don't want nobody to know about, that I'm shameful for, the things that I've done. All right? But you know what? Jesus said to me, you know what? I already know what's behind those doors. Open up and let me in, and I will shine forth my light. And when I shine forth my light, that darkness will be gone. The chains that are holding you, do you realize that you still have darkness? It's like a chain that's holding you to that. The light of Jesus Christ, when he comes in, illuminates, and those chains really melt away, and you're set free. I'll tell you, ever since I allowed that, I see a freedom and a difference in me. All right? Because finally I let him in, and those things that actually a lot of times we completely forget about, or the hurt is so much that we don't want to remember it. But God brings it into the light to remember and get set free from it. So no longer chained or bound by it, but we're finally set free. Isn't that what Jesus said? They've come to set the captive free. Right? It means the captivity in our own spirit, in our own hearts, that have it bound, that God's saying, I will set you free. So whatever you're going through, you don't have to. Jesus Christ has come. Let the light shine forth in that and see how God will set you free. In John 12, 35 to 36, it says, Jesus therefore said unto them, ye a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness overtake you not. And he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While he have light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of light. These things spoke Jesus, and he departed and hid himself from them. All right, my son Joshua, he works for Continental Paving. And during the summer and the fall, they work. But when December comes, it gets too cold, so they have to stop. So they end up, most of the people ending up getting laid off. Well, my son Joshua gets to keep working, all right, because they have what they call dirt crews. And what they do is if somebody has a building project, a large project, they go in and clear the land, prepare the land, lay all the drainage, the water, everything in there. But those crews keep working, all right? And so they needed a driver who will go and refuel all the equipment that they have. The thing is that he has to do it at 1 o'clock in the morning because all those equipment has got to be fueled so that when they go to start work, they want everything ready to go. All right, they don't have to have equipment laying around waiting until it gets fuel. But the thing is that my son, when he first started doing it, he had a little flashlight. All right, and when he got over there, and you have to remember, this is out in the woods. There's no light or anything. It's dark. It's pitch dark. All right, and he's got this little light trying to get around, stumbling around, having difficulty trying to avoid any obstacles because over there, when they do, they dig everything. There's all kind of holes, and you got to be very careful. All right. If you don't see where you're going, you can either fall into a hole or trip and get seriously hurt. All right. And then when it comes to trying to get the city machinery to put the holes in, and so he had this little flashlight. Right. Well, one day he was just kind of trying to find something that would be better, and he found this light that you put on your head, and it was 5,000 lumens. I don't know if you know what a lumen is. One lumen is one candle. Okay, so that thing was like 5,000 candles lit. That's how much brightness it was. So he got that, and he went and he said, oh, but that it was better. But still, there's so much there that I can't see. All right, so it's very difficult for me to move around without getting hurt or anything like that. Right? So one day he happened to see this thing, I don't remember if it was on Facebook or what, and it was this light like we have, with 1 million lumens. When he saw that, he says, man, I went and I bought that. All right, when he got it, he says, no. When I turned that thing, there's no more darkness in front of me. It lights up that whole area. I could safely go to each and every one and see any hazard or anything that would trip me up or any difficulty, all right, where the harm could befall me. I could see it clearly now, all right? Well, the light of Jesus coming within us is the same thing. That would open up so clearly that whatever there that can trip us, now we see it clearly so that we can now deal with it. And dealing with it is to let Jesus now set us free from that. All right? And if you ever saw that light, you would say it is bright. He did it in my den, showing me what it was there. I was watching, and that lit. I couldn't even see the TV. That's how bright it was. You would just fade the TV right out. And I was glad that he got that because I went with him once to do that. And it was very, very difficult. He's got this hold you've got to carry, drag it 200 feet, okay, and avoid all these. And it's even worse in the wintertime when there's snow on the ground and ice and everything. Right? But like I said, this light makes it so much safer and easier for him. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here he is, he's declaring the light that shines forth comes from God, and it shines forth through his Son, all right? And it's a knowing of the glory that light will cause us to walk in a way where the glory of God is on us and shall be seen. We need to understand and get to that understanding. God desires that his glory be seen on us. Because when it is seen on us, then the power of God is made available by his Spirit, and we can exercise and use that in praying for others. You know, Jesus healed and did great signs and wonders. You know what? Jesus himself said, the things I do, you shall do in greater. Well, I believe what he's saying is that what he did, we can do. The glory of God was on him, it was seen, and he manifested God's power. We can do the same thing. There's no limit to how we can walk in our relationship and walking, doing God's will. But God's will is to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he's called us to be the ones that go and go forth and see that God's will is done on the earth as it is in heaven. That's what he's called us to. Last time I preached, I talked about God's will. That's his will for us. Are we willing then to walk in the fullness of his will? And we're willing to let that light illuminate us so much that we see clearly God's will. And we see clearly the path before us. We see clearly what he's called us as individuals, as well as the church, to do for his glory. That his will be done. The church has failed that as far as they can see. But God is saying, oh, arise, shine, for your light has come. Let's rise up and now begin to be all that God's called us to be. There's no reason to hold back. If you're holding back, it's because you choose to. And God is saying, he's given us free will. He'll let us choose the way we go. But God's plan and desire for us is that we walk in his ways, in his truth, and see that his will be done. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't think it can be put any plainer than that, is that we are, once we receive Jesus, we came a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. We need to understand it. We belong to God. In fact, in Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand as you walk in them. He's declaring, we are his, therefore he's doing a work. And that work is transforming us into the very image and likeness and character of his Son, that we will go forth and do the works that he did, we will also do. That's what he's declaring. I mean, I watched one program, and the preacher was talking about, well, you got to understand, all right, you got to be able to read between the lines sometimes, but you also got to be able to read what's not being said. I says, read what's not being said? God, when he declared his word, he declared it the way it should be. What are you saying, read what's not being said? I mean, that confused me. And when I read something like this, what is he not saying here? Okay? But that people come up with I don't know, excuses, whatever, to not really allow that word to have its impact, or to avoid it by coming up with some excuse by saying, well, this, you got to read the gray area. You can't just take it literally. Basically, that's what they're saying. You can't take God's word literally. There have to be gray areas. There has to be reading between the lines. There has to be, you got to be able to see what God didn't say in that. Really, when you try doing that, you'll never find out because God's already declared what he has said. Either we accept it the way it is or you don't. In John 1:5-7, it says, "And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." God is light, pure light, right? We can walk in that pure light. There's no darkness in him. So if God is in us and in us where he's going, remember, we are a work in progress. It's not something that, it's automatic. I got all the fullness. No, it's a work in progress. Every day as we walk in him, God changes us. God ministers us in a way that we become more clear and clear what God is doing. We begin to show us things in our own lives that see and recognize that we lay at his feet and God delivers us from, so we get more of that light. Because remember, when a darkness comes out, God fills it with more of his presence, more of his light. That's what we want. That's what he desires to do, so that we can walk now in the fullness. All right? So I love what it says in Ephesians 3, all right? I believe it's 16 and 17 verses on chapter. But it says here that you may know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what we can walk and be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, there's no limitation to what God can do in us and through it. There's no limitation about how much he has provided for us. It's all made available. We're the ones that put a limit on it. And he's declaring, don't put a limit on it. It's all available, bought and paid for at the cross through the blood of my son. Receive all that he had bought for you and walk in the fullness on that. So that you may be that witness, that you may be that example, that you may be that light out in the darkness where people are so in darkness, they have no hope, but we can bring hope. And verse 6 of that, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. All right? Are you walking in light? Are you willing to take that time and say, Lord, show the light that's within me. Show me the degree of that light that I have. Is it limited? Is it shallow? Is it weak? Or is it growing? Am I progressing? Is that light getting brighter and brighter? You need to seek out those questions yourself. You need to ask the Lord, where am I in my relationship? Is your light really shining? Or have I fooled myself thinking that's where I'm at, but that I am not, that I failed? We need to be able to do that and understand. And God is more than willing to show us where we're at. God cares for us. He's not going to judge us and punish us because we haven't made it. He's the author that we see and recognize so that we can get right and walk in that and grow in him. His desire is that we walk in that completeness that we can have in his son and in him, all right? And so God's always pursuing that. And he's more than willing at times to expose things to us so that we see and recognize, so that we can deal with it, so that that would not hinder our walk and relationship and our growth in him. That light will become brighter and brighter, all right? That I believe he wants us to be so bright we cannot hold that light, but that light will shine forth. And it would not be restricted, but flow freely from each and every one of us to be that light. Oh, I lost the page. But anyways, you guys get the message, right? We're at a time where God is speaking to each and every one of us. Are we willing to be light? Are we willing to submit ourselves fully and be willing to accept when Jesus puts his finger and says, you have this problem. You have this darkness you need to deal with. You've been hiding it. You've been refusing to deal with it. I'm saying now, let me in, that you will be set free. Know that that darkness is a chain that has you bound, and only Jesus Christ can set you free. And it's time that we recognize that. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, okay, Lord, this is what I think, but show me what is real. Show me exactly where I am with you. Show me, am I a light? Or have I been more restrictive? Have I been one that has been holding back? Right? I'll tell you. In fact, the Lord just brought it to mind, so I'm going to share it. When I was putting this message together, I was praying. And as I was praying, the Lord gave me a vision. All right? It was kind of a strange vision, but all right? And what I saw, there was darkness. All right? But I could see the fields of harvest, but there was a darkness over it. All right? But there was just a little bit of light. All right? And where that light was, there was this man with a sickle trying to get the harvest. All right, because he had little light, he was doing more damage than good. I said, Lord, what are you showing me? And he says, I'm showing you, that's where the church is right now. They have so little light that whatever they try to do, they do more damage than good. For they're harming the harvest instead of gathering it in. They claim they need more light, and the more light they see, then they'll see clearly how they can now harvest that fruit to gather it in. I believe that's what God is saying to the church, all right? We just so haphazardly go, all right, and all we do is more harm than good. And I remember one guy that was talking to the person about Jesus, and I mean, really blew me. I mean, the vulgarity he was using about Jesus, I said, whoa, time out here. You say you're a Christian, you could talk to him? I mean, you talk about, hey, they hung his you-know-what butt on the cross and everything, all right? And he did all this, he went through all this crap, the other word. And, man, how can you talk about Jesus, your Lord, the one who saved you that way? You have no reverence, no compassion for him? Your love for him obviously isn't there because you can talk to him in such a vile way. All right? That guy that was between us there, and he didn't want to have nothing to do with him. I got to talk to him later, all right? And the guy said, well, thank you. The guy says, well, I listened to him. He says, why would I want to know this Jesus? All right? What good is he going to do for me? All right? Because he said it didn't do much for him. And that's the whole point. That light showing that, yes, Jesus Christ is real. All right? And so that they can know, hey, I see him in you. I see the changer. I see what God is doing. All right? And what you're going through, I'm going through, but you're not struggling. I am. All right? And that one thing, let know. Well, yes, you can go through the same experience where Jesus Christ can set you free. That's what he's come for. We need to be that light. We need to shine. And we need to be willing, all right, to let God have his way and change us. And point in those areas in our lives and be willing to say, okay, Lord, you showed me, therefore I laid at your feet, set me free from that. So I no longer have that as a bondage. I no longer have that as a chain holding me back. But I can get totally, totally set free. For whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Amen? All righty. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just once again thank you. Father, we just pray that this word that was just going forth, Father, that it would have its impact, Father, on each and every heart. That each and every ear heard your word. And Lord, that you will, by your Spirit, take that word and stir it within us, Father. For I include myself in it as well, Father. I'm not there yet, but I thank you, Lord, as I continue to seek you, Lord, you will bring me to the fullness of walking in all of you, Lord. And you have that for every one of us, Father. So I'm thanking you, Lord, that as we go forth from this place, Father, stir within us, that within our hearts. Help us not to forget, but to consider and to meditate. And allow your Spirit to have that work, which he can do in every one of us. For each and every one of us will be. So, Lord, we just thank you. And thank, Lord, as we enjoy the rest of the day, that you just bless us during that time, Father. And we give you the glory and the praise. For it in Jesus' name, amen.